All right, man, we are live, man. Welcome to another episode of the Back Row Redskins Show. This is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. And having some technical difficulties, but it's all good. We're going to go ahead and get this show on the road, man. Joining me, I got my very good friend, Brian Haskins. Yes, he is a Haskins. Yes, he is the cousin of Dwayne Haskins. And we went to school together at Clarksville, Tennessee, Austin Peay. And he's a big Giants fan. I remember when Dwayne got drafted, I tried to convert him over to outside. He came over for a little bit, but, you know, he's loyal to the blue. He's loyal to Big Blue. What's good, Brian, man? Welcome to the show.
Yo, yo. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Absolutely, man. So are you excited about this game, or is it like desperation mode right now? Like, what's the mood for you right now with your Giants and what we're trying to do?
Man, I think it's desperation mode, man. I think this is it, you know, when it comes to the Giants, man. I figured that, you know, with Daniel Jones getting the help that he needs on offense, mm-hmm. trying to get him some more weapons and everything like that, that, you know, we would be able to score more than what we did on Sunday against the Broncos. But as you can see, that turnover that he did later in the game, that fumble, it hurt us. So if we don't pick up this, you know, this conference, you know, game right here, it's going to be a long season.
Hey, and you know what I call Daniel Jones, man? I call him Apple Turnover Pie Daniel Jones. Like, he's just Apple Turnover Jones, man. He's just, you know, he has some talent. You can kind of see why, you know, the Giants drafted him. I'm so glad that my team didn't draft him. I mean, it was politics that he went before Dwayne Haskins, but I felt that quarterback class was not strong at all. I felt that quarterback class wasn't strong. It was Haskins, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, and Drew Lock. And if you look at everybody, where are they today? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who's really available? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is what it is. I'm about to go ahead and switch on over to my main, and then I'm going to hop off this one.
All right.
All right, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Nice.
Oh, man. Some feedback. Sorry about that. All right, man, we're good now. We are good now. How is my sound?
It's clear. Sounds good.
Clear? All right, good. Got my background back here. Let me go ahead and switch this thing up. All right, now we good. You know, I had some technical difficulties, but, you know, we out here now. So, obviously, this is a big game for the NFC East. And you look at Dallas. Dallas looked pretty good. You know what I'm saying? They fell short. You look at Philly. Philly looked really good. Everybody's saying Philly is the best team in the NFC East after one game versus the weak Atlanta Falcons. So,
right.
I really don't – look, I think it's a three-team race between the football team, the Giants, and the Cowboys. And I'm not saying that just because you're on the show. I also think that the Giants have the second-best defense in this division. Yeah, look at Dallas. They struggled last year with coverage. They're going to struggle again, and they just lost DeMarcus Lawrence. So when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they are struggling for bodies. They're trying to figure things out. And so far, it's not working out for them. My question for you is, what is the biggest matchup come tomorrow night? Like, who on the Giants presents a tough matchup for the Washington football team?
To be honest, man, I don't think a lot of people may agree, but yeah. I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard, man. I think Sterling Shepard showed, you know, a lot, you know, against the Broncos on Sunday, you know, what he's capable of doing. You know, I was talking to my brother about him, and when he switched to number three, you can tell it's going to be on, man, because that's the number that he wore when he was at Oklahoma. So, okay. I figured that when he went back to that number, he was going to put on that the tape, the same type of, you know, skill set that he had back at Oklahoma, man. And it showed he was the one that stood out, you know what I'm saying, on offense. We'll see what Saquon does. They're still trying to take the time with him and everything, but you know, I really do think that Sterling Shepard needs to step up and be, you know, that go-to target where Daniel Jones can get out of certain situations.
Yeah, and actually, even in fantasy football, I'm big on Sterling Shepard this year. Like I've been saying it, I think he's the wide receiver for you guys that does the most. You have Kenny Galladay, who's a bigger body. He plays on the outside. He's a good red zone target. You have Slayton, can do a little bit of both. And you have Kadarius Toney, which we don't even know what to expect from Kadarius Toney. So the main guy to me is Sterling Shepard, and you're starting to see what Shepard can do if he can stay healthy. And he presents to me the toughest matchup. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to figure out what's going on in the middle, and Sterling is a guy that can go inside and out. I think, like you said, he is the biggest matchup problem. So, man, we got T-Ho in the building, man. Appreciate you hopping on the stream, T-Ho. He also said the Giants are without Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley. Is Saquon Barkley playing or is he not playing? What are you hearing from your sources, Brian?
I'm hearing that he was going to be limited, so he may or may not, especially with the short week. And then, you know, like I said, he's still coming back. He was just cleared, you know, like a day or two right before the game on Sunday. So the ACL is a big, you know, is a big thing to overcome. He was able to at least get cleared in a really good time, which was very, very impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, dating back to Adrian Peterson. You know, so. Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't go, I mean, it's definitely going to be on Daniel Jones, as we, you know, was supposing anyway, you know, to begin the first couple of weeks of the season.
Right. And T-Ho also says the Giants O-line looks suspect. Like, do you agree with that statement?
I definitely agree. as you can see, you know, behind me, you know, you got Florida State, you know, right behind me and everything like that. That's one of my college teams along with Rutgers. And the Giants, man, they've been suspect for several years now. And it seems like no matter who we pick, they can't gel together, or they're just not, you know, living up to the standard that we need them to, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, most definitely. Like, you remember who's that guy that you guys drafted? That left tackle, was it Andrew Thomas
from Georgia? Yeah, Thomas.
Yeah, how is he doing, man? Like, is he becoming what you guys thought he was going to be, or is he suspect? Like, I mean, what's the? Because I haven't really watched him play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's right now. It's still up in the air. I mean, you know, he's. I think if we look back at the stats from last year, he was one of the worst tackles out there. I mean, he gave a majority of the sacks that we had on Daniel Jones. And I mean, I remember that one picture or whatever like that that you sent us in the group chat of him taking on
Chase Young.
Yep, Chase Young. And I'm like, all right, yeah. We was going back and forth. I was like, yeah, that's gonna be a good matchup. But
right.
Yeah, Chase Young has gone over and beyond the hype and everything like that, man. Dude's a beast. But I think that, you know, he has a lot of work to do. He really does. He has a lot of work to do, Thomas.
Right. And you know what? The whole, like, the funny thing is, it wasn't even you. See, I didn't come after you. I came after the Giants fans that were on Twitter going crazy, talking all this trash, talking about, you know what I'm saying, Andrew Thomas is going to handle Chase Young. And they started pulling up videos from the past. See, that's where, like, I got kind of mad. I'm like, nah, this can't happen. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, we've seen the different matchups versus the Washington football team. And we see that the football team has come out defensively and done some things. But it seems like the two games we played last year in particular, we saw that football team had the game. You know what I'm saying? Should have had the win. And then it almost seemed like last second, last minute, something happens where it's like a missed two-point conversion and then the Giants win the game, or Daniel Jones scrambles for like 60 yards and trips on his toe. You know what I'm saying? So it's just been a lot of different things. And even that catch that Terry had versus you guys, that was amazing. Matter of fact, shout out to my main man, Terry McLaurin.
today's his birthday. So shout out to Terry. He's the next guy to get paid by the Washington football team. Yes, I think that Terry McLaurin is going to be a superstar in this league. And it's just only a matter of time. I think the guy has had so many quarterbacks. In 3 years, the guy has had so many quarterbacks, from Haskins to Keenum to Alex Smith, Mark Sanchez, Josh Johnson, you know what I'm saying? Heineke, I mean, Fitzpatrick, the list goes on and on and on. The guy's had maybe up to 10 quarterbacks in 3 years. And, you know, he had a press conference. I didn't really listen to it, but I heard the fans talking about, like, you know, he just wants a steady quarterback. And you being a college guy, we're going to get into some of the quarterbacks coming out next year to see what both of our teams can do, because it seems like Daniel Jones is probably not the answer. And then it's starting to look like the football team need an answer rather quickly, rather sooner than later. So we've talked about the biggest matchup for the Giants being Sterling Shepard versus the Washington football secondary. And we've talked about the weakness that you guys have, which is that offensive line. Now I'm going to talk about the strengths for the Washington football team, and then you can, you know, you can chime in at any point. So obviously the strength of the football team is the pass rush. If you looked at the game last week, or if you peeped the game last week, you saw that we went against a quarterback that's very good, that's better than, you know, Daniel Jones and the Washington football team's quarterback combined. What was interesting was Justin Herbert is a smart, smart player. He had two turnovers, but he's still a smart player, and he was able to get the ball out of his hands rather quickly. And that's something that Daniel Jones struggles with, decision-making, getting the ball out of his hands quickly. And then without a Saquon Barkley, or a limited Saquon Barkley, it's really going to hinder, you know, what the Giants can do. If Daniel Jones is holding the ball, it can be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
For you guys. If Daniel Jones is breaking contain, coming out of the pocket, you know, pocket is collapsing and he goes off through the middle, that can be dangerous for us. If Daniel Jones is scrambling, that's where we start to scramble on defense, like, you know, what's going on? Because linebacker play for the football team, believe it or not, is not strong at all. So what do you think that Daniel Jones need to do to counter what we're trying to do? Because we're trying to come after him. You guys just lost one of you guys as a starting right guard or left guard. I don't know which one it is, but he's not going to be available. You know what I'm saying? They brought out the list and said Saquon hasn't practiced all week. He's limited. And then you guys' starting guard is out. So with what we're trying to do, which is we're trying to get after the quarterback, we're going to send four, we're going to send five, and sometimes we're going to send six. Sometimes we're going to blitz because defensively we couldn't get off the field on third downs. Daniel Jones knows that. You guys have the weapons to counter that. And I think that you guys are going to throw the ball. In terms of running the ball, I don't know what you guys are going to do. I don't even know what Saquon looks like. So it's going to be a passing attack for you guys. What does Daniel Jones need to do to counter for this front four, front seven that's going to be coming after him all night?
It's going to be what we've been saying since he came into the league. Protect the ball. He's got to protect the ball. Regardless, we've seen, you know, just the other day, I mean, I brought it up earlier. He went on ahead. He made a nice little scramble, but he didn't protect the ball. Lost it. You know what I'm saying? When he was right there in red zone, have a chance to put up at least three, you know, on the board. But
right,
he has to be able to do a better job of protecting the ball. And if he can't protect the ball, the Giants they're just not going to be in position to stay in the game with anybody.
Right. And that's a good point that you make. The Giants, so you guys are an intriguing team because defensively, you guys went out, got Adoree Jackson, who Titans fans, we both live in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans fans, they dog him out all the time. They say Adoree Jackson sucks. Adoree Jackson is this. What has been your take on Adoree Jackson this year? Has he even lived up to the hype? Is he even healthy? Have you seen him?
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, he's been up and down. He was making some good strides, but then he had a minor setback with that injury right before towards the end of camp. So we don't know what to expect. That's why I think that we kind of went a lot, you know, heavy on defense in the draft this year. because we don't know what we're going to expect from Adore. We don't know what we're going to expect from a lot of the safeties and corners that we have currently on the roster. So, but we, right. we I think we got a lot of talent. We got a lot of depth. I think everything kind of rides off of Logan Ryan and Bradberry right now. So and Bradberry and the leadership of Peppers. So once we're able to get a nice little sink in, man, I think that the secondary is gonna be fine. But that front seven is where a lot of our meat comes from. So we'll see how it goes.
And speaking of Bradberry, man, he was y'all's big money guy. You know, a lot of Washington fans wanted Bradberry. I think Bradberry is good. I think he might be a little bit overrated. But he did. Look, I'm not going to lie. He had a great season last year. He shut down a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. And even matching up, like, sometimes he's going to be on Terry, sometimes he's not. Because Terry's going to be moved all over. And if you can move Terry away from Bradberry and, you know, go against some of your other corners, even if it's a Dory or, you know, working in a slot. So Terry's going to be moved all over the field. A guy that I want to talk about is Dayami Brown. I don't know if you're hip on Dayami Brown. He's from North Carolina. He averaged like 20 yards per catch.
Oh, yeah,
North Carolina. Yeah. Speedster, 6 foot, plenty swag. Problem was in game one, they try to force feed him the ball. The guy can go deep. He can run some routes. He has a potential to have a Terry McLaurin type impact in his rookie season. Curtis Samuel was brought here to be the number two, and he's on IR right now. So a lot of Washington fans are saying, oh, he's a bust. How can a guy that's been in the league for a while, or is it the signing is a bust? So, you know, fans are mad. You know how it is. You know, you pay big money. That's not your money, but you pay big money to some guys and things don't work out. And then, you know, fans start to get mad. So I'm really intrigued to see what our wide receiver group can do versus your secondary. The Giants do have an improved pass rush. That's an area that the Giants can attack the football team. Because if you look, the offensive line, both Leno and Cosme both struggled versus Joey Bosa and the pass rush of the Chargers. Luckily, we only gave up one sack, I believe. But if you look at that game, it was looking somehow. You know what I'm saying? It was looking somehow. But at the end of the day, we were able to pull this thing off. There's a stat that I want to share about Terry, but while I pull that up, I want you to talk to me about you guys' pass rush and what Washington football fans can expect from the Giants come Thursday night.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I was looking at the, you know, the offseason stats, and like what you said, you mentioned earlier in the show, that I agree. I think that we're second behind you guys in regards to the defense. And it's primarily because of the improved, that pass rush that we was able to get towards the end of the season. Williams actually, you know, he showed the reason why, you know what I'm saying? We went on ahead and we made that switch and getting him from the Jets. You know, he came across and he gave a spark, you know what I'm saying, on that D line. And I think Dexter Lawrence, you know what I'm saying, is that new Thompson, man, that we had, before we traded him. So he's a big guy that can plug up the middle. You know what I'm saying? And then you got, you know, Williams on the outside that can still, you know, cause contain, and Rutgers on the outside. So I think everything has to be led by that D-line. You know what I'm saying? I think Martinez can do a great job as far as leading the linebackers.
Martinez, man.
You know, Blake, I mean, he's a tackling machine, you know. So, you know, if that front seven can do what they need to do and cause pressure, I think we can do a good job as far as, you know, containing your wide receivers in that run game as well. So it's all based off of them.
Absolutely. So I put up a stat today about Terry McLaurin versus the Giants. You know what I'm saying? He's played 3 career games so far versus the Giants. And let me pull it up. It says Terry McLaurin. See him here, the beast that he is. Says Terry McLaurin has scored. Hold on, I don't know why it's okay. So Terry McLaurin has 21 catches, 275 yards, and has scored 1 touchdown in 3 games versus the Giants in his career. So on average, he's averaging 7 receptions a game. He's averaging almost 92 yards per game versus the Giants.
Now, those stats alone are as solid as it comes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're talking 90. If any receiver getting 90 yards a game, like that's amazing. You know what I'm saying? You can't beat that. You can't beat that. That's like elite status. You know what I'm saying? A guy like Julio in his prime is averaging like, 100, over 100. Get 90 and to only be in the league, this is his third season. You know what I'm saying? That's amazing. So my question for the Washington football fans, and Brian, you can answer this, actually. So over under, does Terry get 7 or more receptions? Does he get over 7 or under 7? What do you think?
I'm going over.
Come tomorrow night.
I'm going over.
Yeah, same.
I'm going over. I don't. I'll be surprised if he goes under. I'll be very surprised. Yeah. The only reason why I'll be surprised is if the Giants D line can get to the quarterback. If they can get to Heinicke, they can rattle him and everything like that. Then he won't get. You know, what I'm saying at least 7. But if he's able to get time, you know what I'm saying, and he's able to, you know what I'm saying, dissect that off. I mean that secondary, he'll have at least 10. I think.
Right. And the beauty of the whole thing is, since Heinicke has taken over, like he's played, like last year he played a few quarters here and there, taking over for Haskins, and the whole Haskins things happened. So he, got that start in the playoffs versus the Bucks, and he played well and almost surprised and almost shocked the world in beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know that I was excited at that time. I was like, give Heinicke the franchise, making a franchise guy. A lot of us were saying that, but after seeing some things in preseason, and the reason why I liked Ryan Fitzpatrick more was that he can see the field quicker and he can make those deep throws. He can make those throws. With Heinicke, I'm going to see if he can make those throws. Like, he didn't get a lot of reps as the number one in camp, so I don't know if it's going to affect his connection with guys like Dyami Brown or like. I know he has a connection with Cam Sims. He definitely has a connection with Cam Sims, and he has a connection with Terry. There was a pass that was thrown to Terry on Sunday. I don't know if you saw it on SportsCenter. They threw this pass. Let me try to find it while I'm talking. They threw this pass, right? Terry McLaurin caught this ball, and he didn't even see it coming. He did not see this ball coming. And he said that it was such an amazing play. He said that he just focuses on the ball and not who's around him. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the best catches come Sunday. Here it is right here. I'm gonna play it so that everybody can see.
Saw a similar call, and then watch this catch. I mean, watch this concentration. Right through the game.
Oh, yeah. Spectacular that was job, man. Though. I really thought it was picked.
Jay, how did he catch? Getting beat. He grabs him, hooks him. Crazy. Saw a similar
bruh,
call.
That was bananas, man.
I mean, watch his concentration. Right through the game.
Let me go ahead and pause it real quick.
Spectacular
sorry.
Job. Now.
Yeah, that was the catch. it was crazy. It was a big play, and that's what Terry's going to give you. He's going to give you big plays. The second part for this Terry question is, since he's averaging about 92 yards a game versus the Giants, over under 92 games versus your squad come Thursday night?
See, I think he's going to get the catches, but I'm iffy on the yards. I'm iffy on the yards. I may go under on that one. I do believe that he'll get the catches. It's just that I think they're going to do a better job as far as trying to make sure that he doesn't get the big play. So
look,
I'm right there with you, man. On that one.
I'm right there with you. Like I put the same exact thing. I said I think he'll get 7 catches for sure. Like I think he's going to be targeted 10 to 15 times. He was only targeted 4 times last game, and it was only because Heinicke came in the game and made that connection with Terry. In the first quarter, they went to Dyami Brown and other guys, and they didn't go to guys like Terry. They didn't go to Logan Thomas, who Logan Thomas has a nice stat line versus you guys as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had a touchdown versus you guys. Cam Sims, another one, had a touchdown versus you guys. So it seems like the football team is going to be able to use their bigger wide receivers if we get into the red zone, and we're going to throw that thing up.
Yeah,
we're going to throw it up. We're going to throw it up, and we're going to make you guys defend that. And I think that's something that we've been successful at
which is throwing that ball to a guy like Logan Thomas so he can use his big frame. Cam Sims is another one. And who knows if the team elevates Antonio Gandy-Golden. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. But they're definitely going to try to use their bigger wide receivers and their bigger tight ends in the red zone. And that could cause a problem for you guys. Especially, see, you guys have game planned for Fitzpatrick, probably, you know, way ahead of time. And now it's Heinicke. I'm pretty sure you guys have a scout team, somebody, because he will run. Heinicke gives me Doug Flutie type vibes. And that's one of the reasons I like this kid. He's not a kid. He's actually old. But we always think that he's young just because he's new to the game. Josh says, will LT have more than one touchdown versus the G-Man? I think Logan Thomas will be lucky to have a touchdown. I don't know where the touchdowns come from. The football team is going to need at least 21 points to have a shot at winning this game. And we're going to have to keep the Giants down 20. Like, we're going to have to keep the Giants under 20 points to have a shot. Like, so far, I'm not confident in the offense. I have not seen offense. Look, scoring more than 21 points for the football team is going to be tough, especially against a tough defense. We saw what the Giants defense was able to do to Tom Brady last year. We both saw it. This Giants defense is pretty good. Blake Martinez, pretty good. So with the Giants being stacked on defense, like, I believe more in the Giants defense more than other Washington fans. And it's crazy to me, but the truth is the truth. I keep it real. My question to you is, with Martinez, right, is he better against the pass or is he better against the run? Talk to me.
Based on what I've seen, and then, you know, what I, not only with the Giants, but with the Packers as well, it seems to me he's better on the run. Okay. I seen one play that stuck out to me when they played against the Broncos, and he got sucked in on a play action and was lost when he wanted trying to get back in the coverage. So I was like, man, this guy, man, he needs to stick into the run game. And we haven't had a Pierce in a while. You know, Pierce was able to go ahead and he was great on the, you know, on coverage, but he was also there, man, and on the run, you know, game as well. So I think Blake Martinez can be that. I think he just needs to be more patient, you know what I'm saying, and not get sucked in when it comes in on that play action.
Absolutely, man. If you guys are tuning into the show, whether you're watching on Facebook, whether you're watching on Twitter or YouTube, please hit that share button to get this out to the masses. Whether you're a football team fan, whether you're a Giants fan, it's still pretty good NFL talk. And who knows? Maybe you have some knowledge and might be able to get you on a show in the future to even talk some fantasy football as well. I'm going to answer this question by Josh or this comment, then we're going to pivot to the next topic. It says the Giants couldn't stop the Broncos. Do we think the Broncos' offense is better than ours? So, Brian, I'm going to let you answer this question first, and then I will talk about it. So he's talking about the Broncos offense. We're talking about an offense that had Jerry Jeudy, an offense that had Cortland Sutton coming off of injury. You have Melvin Gordon, Javonte Carter. You got Noah Fant and Albert O. So that's KJ Hamler. That's an offense right there. So you talk to me. Do you think the Broncos offense is better than the Washington football team's offense?
You know, I mean, I think that's a really good question, man. And I'm going to have to say that they are. I'm going to say the Broncos.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. It's not even a question. It's not even a question. Like, they got us pretty much at every single position. Like, you talk quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater's a journeyman. Fitzpatrick, Heinicke, journeyman. It's about even, or you one might have a slight edge over the other. You look at the wide receivers as a whole. The Broncos have a better wide receiver core than Washington. Like, until the Yami Brown starts producing, until Curtis Samuel is healthy, I'm going – what can I go off of? I can't go off of anything. I've seen Cortland Sutton. I've seen what Jerry Jeudy can do. I haven't seen these new guys that we've brought in. Adam Humphries, what did he do last game? So, I agree with you. Like, Broncos offense is better to me than the Washington football's offense. And even play calling and design is better.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Like, Scott Turner, you got to show me something. You got to show us something, man. Like, you wanted your quarterbacks. You're getting the kind of guys that you like. Not only that, Scott Turner would probably be able to do some certain things with Heinicke that he can't do with a Fitzpatrick. Look, all these play actions can turn into some nice long runs for the quarterback, and it's all going to be about how the Giants are able to contain.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, I've seen Heinicke throw the ball deep, but I don't think he has a better deep ball than Fitzpatrick. And you, if you compare Heinicke and Teddy Bridgewater, I'm going to go Bridgewater because I know who Bridgewater is. I'm still learning who Taylor Heinicke is. Like, Washington football fans might get mad about that statement, but at the end of the day, what have we seen other than a few quarters of football? Like, we've only seen, like, how many games out of this guy? So, you know, so, okay, when you compare the running game, right, we have Antonio Gibson. We have Jared Patterson backing up. Antonio Gibson had two fumbles on Sunday and lost one. So that's a huge issue. So if you're talking about Blake Martinez being an asset in the run defense game, Antonio Gibson better learn how to, you know what I'm saying, protect that ball.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Losing Peyton Barber. Antonio Gibson is the guy that we're now deploying to go get those tough yards, those third and ones, those fourth and ones. So he's learning how to become a true running back. You're talking about a guy who played wide receiver at Memphis and was converted to a running back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So talk to me about – we know what Blake Martinez can do in the run game. And you guys did draft a edge rusher from Georgia, Olajiri. I think that's his name. Did you guys draft Olajiri?
Yeah, I think that's
you guys. And I think he's been doing some pretty good things. Talk to me about this young kid. Is he starting? Like, what should we be looking for? Because from everybody that I talk to, they tell me that the kid can ball. So talk to me about Olajiri and what he might be able to present as a matchup problem for us come Thursday night.
Yeah, I think he comes with a different type of skill set. I think he's more so of a hybrid of a defensive end and a linebacker, you know. So he's quick off the ball. He's smart when it comes to, you know, realizing, you know, what's in front of him, and he's strong. So Georgia has a lot of, you know, breeds, you know what I'm saying, that we've definitely picked up over the years. Right. So they produce a lot of great linebackers, DNs. Mm-hmm. And everything like that. So, but yeah, I think this guy is going to be one of the better ones that we've gotten over the past recent years, as far as drafting from Georgia.
And I think that was you guys' biggest need last year was pass rusher. Like, I mean, yeah, I had a guy. Was it Marquise Golden?
Yeah.
Yep. Y'all let him go. So it's like, y'all needed this pick, and I know Titans fans wanted Olajiri, and then he went to you guys. I was laughing at the Titans fans because I don't know what they were doing. Now, man, I had a question that just slipped my mind. So for you, being a former running back, you played some running back, and what other positions did you play growing up?
So I played, of course, I played running back, but also played, believe it or not, I played middle linebacker back in my Pee Wee day. So I played middle linebacker. That's what's up. Then in high school I played running back, and then I played strong safety.
So nice. So for you being a former running back, this is what I want to hint at. Are you familiar with Jared Patterson? Played with Buffalo. It's the guy that had 8 touchdowns in one game.
Nah.
Okay, probably not familiar, but Jared Patterson is a smaller guy. No offense. He's similar to you, bro, and that's why I'll try to make the connection. He's a smaller guy. He's probably like 5'6", maybe around there, 5'6", 5'7". But he's a smaller guy. But the guy is a pure running back. This dude right here, even last year in limited games, I think he played 6 games or 7 games. And this guy had 1,000 yards and had up to 8 to 10 touchdowns. I don't even know the stats right now off the top of my head, but Jared Patterson is a pure running back, and he was a guy that, you know, went undrafted. And he was even telling teams, don't draft me. I want that opportunity to play for the Washington football team. And Chase Young was vouching for him because him and Chase Young grew up together and played ball together in Maryland. So when you get a chance to check him out, man, style of running, he's like a body type of a Ray Rice, Maurice Jones-Drew, in that. I'm not saying he's those guys, but
His body type, his run style reminds me a lot of those guys. Some people say Darren Sproles, a little bit of Darren Sproles. Yeah. I don't see too much Darren Sproles. I see more so Maurice Jones Jr. and Ray Rice. And he was on an interview on a podcast with somebody, and he said those exact same type things. So I'm looking forward to him helping Antonio Gibson a lot this year. I'm looking for maybe it'll be nice if they can get a 70-30 split out the backfield and then work a way up to a 60-40. You know, I know a lot of fantasy people are like, no, we don't want Antonio Gibson taking carries and things of that nature. But that's definitely a place that I want to try to exploit the Giants if I can. Get that running game going. Antonio Gibson looked great on Sunday. He ripped off nice runs, like 27-yard runs and gains of like, I think he averaged, 4.5 yards per carry. Yeah. He could have averaged up to 6 yards per carry, but, you know, some runs didn't go as planned. And then that fumble, that costly fumble. So if we can establish that run and then hit you guys with a play action or two, the game can get interesting. Game can definitely get interesting. What are you looking forward to seeing out of your team offensively come Thursday night?
It's a Thursday night game, man. I'm really hoping that it's not a boring game. That's just the one thing that I'm hoping that it won't be. It's the NFC East. For years, we've been talking about how the NFC East, man, has been one of the most dominant, you know, conferences in the league. You know, for years. You know, you had the Cowboys, man, that was running it, you know, in the 90s. You had the Giants that was winning it here and there. Redskins, you know, with their history, you know. So I just hope that with this spotlight that we have on a Thursday night, that it's not a boring game and that we can actually show that the NFC East can be, you know, the big East, you know, for lack of a better word. So, but I want to see more of the offense more than anything. I want to see the offense actually get going with Daniel Jones, get Kenny Galladay going, get Sterling Shepard, you know, out there working the seams, utilize the speed of Slayton and, you know, Kadarius Toney, you know what I'm saying? Try and get these playmakers out there and Jones just take care of the ball and do what he needs to do.
Hey, you know what's so funny? Y'all going to need y'all playmakers. You know why? Because y'all are missing Evan Engram once again. You know, y'all need to cut ties with Evan Engram after this season. This guy is made out of peanut brittle, bro. If you scratch this guy, he's on IR for 7 weeks. The guy is so soft, man.
Yeah, I was glad that we got, you know, Kyle Rudolph, you know, because I think he really, to me, he'll be our new Shockley. And, man, dude, I love Shockley, man. Mm-hmm. Shockley, man, he was you know, just energetic, you know what I'm saying? He was feisty. You know, he came from when the U was back, you know what I'm saying? So he brought that energy, you know what I'm saying, there, man. So I think that Kyle Rudolph can bring that same type of, you know, tenacity to the Giants. And I think he has a few more years. So we'll see how
it goes. My only knock with Kyle Rudolph is that he is so slow. But you don't have to be fast to play tight end. You got to know, man, how to find the seams, find the holes. And he catches everything.
Look what Witten has done with the Cowboys for years.
Bro, I can outrun Witten. I can put my money on that. I know I can outrun Witten. And I'm not fast anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I know I can outrun Witten. But the thing about Rudolph is, even though he's slow, he has some really good hands. He catches everything.
Yeah.
He catches everything. He's one of the most sure-handed tight ends in the league currently. I knew that we won't be able to get past this episode without talking a little bit about your cousin, but Josh is asking, he knows that we're talking Giants and Washington, but he's curious to know what you think, Brian. He says, do you feel that Dwayne Haskins is in a good position behind Big Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. It's crazy because, you know, I found out probably about 2 days prior, you know, that he was actually going to the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? It's like the before it all came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably the best position for him. When he got drafted by, you know, when they were the Redskins at the time, you know, the football team, it just wasn't set up for him. Gruden was talking about how he didn't want him, but then, the office wanted him, and it was too much going on for him. I think that you know, a lot of pressure was brought onto him by himself. But also by, you know, the football team as well. So I think that just this new start for him, hopefully getting out of a different situation. And then, you know, Mike Tomlin has a great character. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Somebody who is well-respected throughout the league. So I think that he can be a great mentor along with Big Ben, you know what I'm saying, and put him in a position for him to be successful. So we'll see what happens. I think it is a good position for him.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the low risk, high reward for the Steelers if everything pans out for him. And I know, like, they have Mason Rudolph. You got Haskins. So they still have Dobbins from Tennessee.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs. Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, he got hurt. So, I mean,
Open the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Open the door. So, yeah, hopefully Dwayne Haskins is able to maximize his opportunities. Let me pick another comment real quick. Since I hope it's not boring game as well. Yeah, I hope it's a good game, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting out to the game. I'm going to the Thirsty Turtle in Antioch. So, Brian, if you're free, come on. I know you're further out, but hey, if you're free, I'll be at the Thirsty Turtle watching the game tomorrow with some other Washington fans. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take over the whole Thirsty Turtle. It's some Washington fans here in Nashville, and I'm starting to find them. So usually if there's a primetime game, they usually show up out there.
Okay.
And, you know, have a good time. So I'm looking forward to that. He says, I'm scared of Kyle Rudolph because he's a good tight end. He is a good tight end. Like, yeah. I said, he's slow, but he catches everything. He's a guy that you got to watch for if it's a red zone opportunity. I do not want to see the Giants inside the 20. I mean, they can do some things. If Sterling Shepard is running this way and Galladay is going that way, that, you know, those are just weapons that they can throw the ball to in that red zone. So that's an area I think you guys can exploit, but I'm just hoping that this defensive line is able to apply pressure. Look, Washington football fans have been roasting this defense. It says, some people are saying this defense might not be as elite as they think it is. So, Brian, before we get off here, I want you to give me your keys of the game. I'm going to give you my keys of the game, and I'm also going to share my screen one more time and show you what people are saying about their keys of the game in terms of what they're expecting. So give me your keys of the game for your team. What do the Giants need to do to secure this victory come Thursday night?
So the first thing, I'm going to go offense since I'm an offensive type of guy. They definitely got to be able to protect the ball. You cannot turn the ball over. So whether it's Daniel Jones, if it's Saquon Barkley, you know, any of our playmakers on offense, they got to be able to secure the ball. Secondly, I'm about to say, you know, is the D-line. The D-line, just say who is the best. You know, is it Washington or is it going to be the Giants? Because in the East, it's between them two. And then lastly, I think is going to be field position. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to set, you know, both offense up with field position. So if the defense can go and make stops the way they need to, and then, you know, probably get some nice returns here and there on punt return or kick return, get your offense in the best position to actually be able to score. So those are going to be my three keys of the game.
Awesome, man. Those are some pretty good keys, some pretty good ones right there. Let me see. Let me read a few comments here before I go ahead and share my screen. Since Rudolph was injury prone the last few years with the Vikings, absolutely. He's a guy that's injury prone. But when he's healthy, he's pretty good. Is Saquon going to play? We talked about it. Brian says that he's going to play, that he's limited. For me, as a fantasy player, I have Saquon in two leagues. He fell to me in the second round, which is crazy. Late second round, almost third round, that Saquon Barkley fell because of an injury. So I scooped him. It's a high risk. I mean, low risk. No, it's a high risk, high reward, actually.
Yeah.
So as for me, I'm not starting Saquon. I don't like to start people against my real team, but at the same time, it's fantasy. Sometimes I got to do what I got to do. I am starting Sterling Shepard. I'm starting Sterling Shepard, but I'm not starting Saquon just because I don't want him to get there, get hurt, or play two plays and they take him out, and then I'm stuck with like a goose egg on the screen,
right,
you know, on the score. But I'm going to share my screen, like I said, one more time, and I'm going to talk about the keys to the game from the football fans. You know, I put out a tweet, and you know, these guys were able to share their opinions. Part of the YouTube channel Talking Sports with Manny, I love to interact with people who love to talk sports, whether it's my team, another team. So I'm always asking questions. So I asked the question this afternoon, keys to the game. So Shelly says, prepare and execute. I like that. We got to prepare. Hopefully we are prepared. I mean, we've been preparing, what, all summer, right? you know, all offseason. It's time to start seeing those fruits. You know, Heinicke, I hope you're ready. I hope you're prepared. This is your chance. You have 8 weeks to win this job and say, I am the quarterback for the rest of the season. It's going to be a tough schedule. If you can come out 4-4, I'll be satisfied. The schedule is super tough, but I think he's equal to the task. Then HTTR for life, he says, play a mistake-free game. We will beat them. Look, if the Washington football team plays mistake-free, we have a high chance of winning the game. That means Antonio Gibson, please put the fumbles away. It happened in the last game. You know what I'm saying? Just focus on being better. You know what I'm saying? Focus on protecting the ball. Heinicke, focus on not throwing interceptions. And so far, he has not thrown a lot of interceptions in the games that he's played. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. You know what I'm saying? Then, hail to the Washington football team. He says, get to Daniel Jones. We talked about that, Brian. That's a major key for the football team. If we can get to Daniel Jones, get him rattled, we can create some turnovers, some takeaways. That's definitely going to help the chances of the football team winning this game. Then Rachel says, create and capitalize on turnovers. Same thing. Everybody has that theme of playing mistake-free, creating turnovers. Those are recipes to winning the game. It says, stop the Giants on third down. That's something that we could not do last week. We got to stop the Giants on third down. If we can't stop the Giants on third down, I'm going to go crazy. I'll be eating my wings. I'm not going to throw my wings, but I'll throw the bone because I paid for my wings. But I'm going to be kind of mad if we can't get off the field on third down. It's so frustrating. And then do not settle for field goals. So, Rachel, great, great points, great, great keys to the game. Definitely. Like I said, we need at least 21 points to beat the Giants, and we need to keep the Giants under 20 points. So, go figure. You need at least 21, okay? I don't want to see a 21-20 game. I think that would be too stressful. I'm trying to have a good time, enjoy the game, relax, kick back after work. Mr. 211 says, stop the run and get a pass rush. We definitely need to stop the run. I don't care if it's Saquon Barkley. I don't care if it's Booker. I don't care who it is. We got to treat whoever that's playing as a top-tier running back. We can't say, oh, because Saquon is limited, we're going to just be lackadaisical on defense. That cannot happen. And we definitely need to get a pass rush. Like I said, that's been the theme. Get to Daniel Jones. Jubs 09 says, win the turnover battle. Absolutely. It says better than 50% on third down conversions on offense and stops on defense. So, yeah, we definitely need to convert on third downs, because last week it was like third and out. And then these guys convert on like things like third and 17. That cannot happen. This is cancer. Go bye bye. Hey, I'm so glad that, you know, you're cancer free. It says scoring more points than the other team. Obviously, 21 over 20. That wins the game. Football team. Eric Phillips says Gibson and a third down defense. So, Brian, you're seeing the theme here. All you have to do is call the Giants coach and tell him that we suck on third down defense. I mean, that's been the Achilles heel from last year and it's carried over to this year. My biggest prayer is defense, third and out, get these guys off the field, run the ball, kill the clock, time of possessions. That's my keys. Andy Burrows from the DC Tweet Team podcast, he says, convert on third down, get our big players more of the ball. That means Terry McLaurin, I would love for him to have 15 targets. If Terry gets 15 targets, it increases the chances of scoring more points. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. Find creative ways to get the ball. Throw some screens. Dude, just get the ball in his hands. The Skins Skinny says, establish the run. Check. Shut down Saquon. Check. Get to Jones early. Check. Get the ball into Terry's hands as many times as you can. Obviously, it's going to be tough with their secondary. So here's another guy that's putting respect on y'all secondary. Because, like I said, I mean, I don't take the Giants defense lightly. I mean, you guys have a pretty
good defense, pretty solid defense. So, Brian, any last remarks before we go ahead and end this stream? You have the floor.
Hey, I'm just anxious to see, you know, how they're going to bounce back. It's a short week for us, you know. Well, for both of us, you know, it's a short week. I think it was a disappointing loss, especially, you know, coming off of, you know, 9/11, you know, how that impacted the whole, you know, New York, you know, metropolitan area. So I think they definitely got to make a turnaround right here, you know, and, you know, it'll be great to kind of get our first win in the league. So hopefully they can go in and pull that out. You know, I think it'll be 27-17.
Absolutely. 27-17 is your prediction. So Giants win by 10. My prediction is the Washington football team win the game, obviously, 24-20. I'm going to say 24-20. It's going to be closer than what most people think, 24-20. I'm hoping we score over 21 points. That's really the hope. Like, I don't know where the offense is going to come from. Last year, Gibson carried us a lot, scoring touchdowns. Peyton Barber scored touchdowns. So it seemed like we ran a lot of touchdowns into the end zone last year. Red zone offense still scares me. I don't know what to do in those situations. I don't know what we're doing in those situations. But you know what? It is what it is. I'm excited for the game. I'm not to the point to where I'm going off on the football team just yet, just because we waited this whole time to get football and football is actually back. And it's a primetime game. Obviously, I want to win. Like, if we lose, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, if we lose the next podcast, I will not be this calm. You know, I'm going off on everybody. You know how I am, Brian. I'm going off on everybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm going off on the coaches. Man. I'm calling every. Matter of fact, I'm getting on the plane and I'm going to Ashburn. Like, me and Daniel Snyder are going to have a conversation. Like, everybody's getting it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know how I am, man. Like, when we make a bad draft pick or something crazy happens, I go off on everybody, man. Matter of fact, I fly in there. I fly there in person. You know, head to Ashburn. I already got the code to the door and everything. And then, you know, when I get in there, they try to offer me champagne and things like that. I don't want any of that. Like, let's talk business, man.
Let's talk.
We're talking business, man. We tired of – look, I've been a fan since 99, and it's been tough. Like, playoffs don't come by. Winning seasons don't come by as much. But it's like when you're so deeply enriched into that burgundy and gold. See, it's burgundy and gold until the blood turns cold for me. I can't see me being part of any other organization than the Washington football team. So it's in my blood, and I never thought I'll be doing a Washington football podcast. It just fell on my lap. So I just kind of put the two together. This is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. This is the Back Row Redskins show. I am changing the name. There's still people that are mad that I'm still rocking with the Redskins name. But you know what? Who cares? This is my show. If you don't like it, don't watch it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like it, don't listen. The reason with the name change, I'm going to say this is going to be the last time I say this on my show. When I took over with the Back Row Redskins, I mean Back Row crew in the Back Row group, I took the Redskins, right? Literally a week after taking over this podcast, the name changes. I've done all the rebranding. I've done all this. I said, man, changing the name right now, and all this momentum that I've built. So then I'm thinking that we're going to get a real name, right? Then they start rocking with the Washington football team. I said, no, we're not going to do the Back Row Washington football team show. No, we're not doing that. So I'm thinking, okay, by this season, we'll have a name, right? No name. Name is coming out next spring. So that's when the new identity for the podcast, the new name for the podcast is going to be announced, whatever their name is. If they say this is the Washington Unicorns and this is, hey, the Back Row Unicorn Show, okay? Whatever the name is going to be, it's going to be fans who love it, fans who don't love it. Like, there's really no name that you can pick that you're not going to get clowned. Like, you got the Giants, you got the Midgets, you got the Shorties, you got the Eagles, you got the Pigeons, Fly Pigeons Fly. I mean, you got the Cowboys, you got the Cowgirls. So any name that's picked, you're going to get roasted. You know what I'm saying? So this is the Back Row Redskins show. Got my guy Brian Haskins on the show. This is the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. You guys, please like, please subscribe, please share. Hey, Brian, tell the tell the people where they can find you on social media.
Hey, you can find me on Instagram. Just do my search name, Brian Haskins on there, Brian Haskins Sr. Or Brian H underscore SR for senior. So yeah, I'll definitely be getting with Manny more offline, everything. And hopefully we'll get some more, you know, podcast shows and everything like that going on, man. So we can get a lot of this, NFC East talking. And
yes, sir. Like that yes, going, sir.
Man. So, hey, you know, yeah, definitely.
The next time we do this, man, we're definitely going to have a Dallas fan come on, and we're going to have the Eagles fan come on and just have a NFC East roundtable. We've talked
Nate.
About it.
We can get Nate on here.
Hey, we got to get Nate on here. I think that's going to be funny. I think that's going to be funny. I've tried to get David on here. You know, he's a big Cardinals fan, but he keeps running away from this sports talk. But it's all good. I got to get Pops on here, talk some Alabama football.
Yep.
I got to get RJ on here too, man. So it's just good to kind of get the fam on here. And yeah, I had definitely. Nick on yesterday. He did good. You know what I'm saying? Little weave, you know what I'm saying? Doing his thing. So yeah, we had fun. And I think I shared this on my Facebook page. So it's on my personal page. It's in the Smack Talk, NFL Smack Talk Facebook page as well. It's on Twitter. And it's also on YouTube. You guys follow me on at TS with Manny on Twitter, TS with Manny on Instagram, Talking Sports with Manny on Facebook, and obviously Talking Sports with Manny on YouTube channel. Please go in there, subscribe, please share the whole nine. And I am offering a membership to my YouTube subscribers. You guys can click and see what membership is best for you. We're going to have some great stuff coming up, some giveaways, some great things, some contests and things of that nature. So be sure you guys are tuning in, whether it's a fantasy show, whether it's a football team show, whether it's a Lakers show for the Lakers fans and things of that nature. So I will catch you guys on the next episode. We are out.
Yes, sir.